Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin, you're listening to Up North News.
Well, you can hear the crowd, whether they're at Petco or what was then Miller Park. The doors to the bullpen open. Out steps Trevor Hoffman. And you know the game is over. It's just over. And then, like all other relief pitchers, they eventually burn themselves out. And I hope the same thing isn't happening to Josh Hader personally. But if it happens while he's now at Petco Park with the Padres, well, that's baseball. I'm hardly one to crow, given what the Brewers have done their last couple of games. Kiev Akil, national correspondent for Up North News, joins me as we talk about the Netroots Nation conference that was held last week and other stories that he's been working on for Up North News. Before the break, we were talking about one of the main topics was misinformation and how you counter it. And it always strikes me as walking some kind of a tightrope because you want to help somebody understand that they've been lied to or at least misinformed. Then there is that natural gag reflex you are afraid of provoking, that they'll say, you know, are you calling me stupid or whatever? So you need to explain something in a way that doesn't hurt the other person. But then you other have people saying, no, you rip the Band-Aid off and you just, you know, go for the splash of cold water. And you know, these are real disagreements, and there's a lot of pop psychology involved in all of this, but we're all amateur psychologists at heart. So what was the discussion like there on how you tackle misinformation in an election year like this?
Yeah, I mean, there were many, many panels. Carolyn Fidler, who you mentioned, moderated one on Saturday about misinformation and the media's role in it. And, you know, and this is something one of the panelists, a point they made was, you know, there's sort of two tracks on this. One is, it is a platform problem, you know, whether it's Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, Google, all these platforms are, you know, responsible in some way. They are insisting they are not media companies, you know, that they don't have, you know, they're not trying to, you know, pick a lane or, you know, really get involved, but they are media companies. I don't think, you know, maybe setting Google aside, you could make a case Google isn't, but I don't think there's any discussion. I don't know anyone in good faith who could argue Facebook is not a media company or TikTok is not a media company. It's content. It's all content. And, you know, these companies profit off ads, which are boosted by engagement and user, you know, people spending time on the platforms. And over again, we see that what drives people to stay on the platforms is conflict, is anger, is emotion. And unfortunately, a lot of that makes way for misinformation to thrive, both paid and organically. And, you know, so part of it is a platform problem where, you know, unless you really rein in Facebook in some way, whether it's breaking it up or changing the regulations, I don't know that you're swimming upstream. But in terms of what individuals can do, as you were talking about, you know, to help people who may be being affected by it, I think there's a couple things that sort of I took out of Netroots, which I'd already, you know, and new things I learned, some things I already knew. But one is, you know, until the government does something, or Facebook's never going to reform itself, but until something happens to change the business model or the way they operate, you know, you can't just cede the ground to all this nonsense. So one antidote, which is what we do at Courier, is to try to push back with good news, good information, actual factual news. And so that, you know, when people are scrolling Facebook, they don't just see 800 right-wing lies. They might see 800 right-wing lies and, you know, a couple posts from CNN, a couple posts from our news outlets. And hopefully, you know, that will, you know, maybe prevent some folks from being, you know, convinced by these lies. So that's one thing. The second thing I think is who is presenting that news is really important. You know, if it's a trusted voice in your community, that matters. If it's a local news platform like, you know, Up North News, who's built a loyal audience who trusts them, that also helps.
You're too kind. Thank you.
It's true. People trust their local news more. And, you know, that's sort of our model here at Courier, is reporters on the ground in our states, and they're trying to meet people on these social platforms that are rife with misinformation to give them bits of actual news. So that's something else. But I think in terms of like pop psychology, how do you persuade someone without you making them feel like they're an idiot? That's really hard, because people don't like to be told they're wrong. People don't like to be made to feel stupid.
But sometimes I feel like in some of our earlier conversations, the way to do that is just to provide them with some new information rather than saying the old information is wrong. That once you can engage in a conversation, once you get, you know, somebody either reading your website, your blog, your newsletter, or watching your videos or what have you, you don't have to necessarily be confrontational. But if you're putting forward factual information, that it just, you love the look where they go, oh, I never thought of it that way. And suddenly you see that, you know, light bulb start to go off. Doesn't mean you're always going to be successful, but at least engaging in that conversation, even as a media company engaging, you know, with a viewer and a reader, yeah, you have to start somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a huge part of it. I think another part also is two things. One is there's more and more data. I think Google just published something yesterday where there's something called pre-bunking, which is, you know, debunking is you try to correct something after the fact, after a lie has already spread to 8 million people. And people tend to stick to their first impressions or the first thing they hear about something, unfortunately, a lot of the time. So pre-bunking is where you try to get ahead of it and anticipate what kind of crazy misinformation might spread and try to get ahead of it and publish factual news that pre-bunks it.
Sure. We did that in 2020, and then I'll let you get to your other point. But I wanted to make this point about it. This is something that more legacy media, mainstream media, whatever you want to call them, should be doing, and there is nothing partisan about it. Now, one outlet's headline might say, as a pre-buttal, and we did this in 2020, Donald Trump is coming to Wisconsin today. Here are the things that aren't true that he's going to say. Now, another place might take the headline that says, here are 10 lies Donald Trump's going to tell. I'm not saying your local TV affiliate has to do that, but they certainly can do that kind of a pre-buttal that Donald Trump is coming to town. And if the record holds true, he's going to talk about this and this. And you can do that. There's nothing partisan about truth.
No. And that's the problem. This leads to a whole other conversation, but that is the biggest problem in media today is, we are at a point where simply telling the truth feels partisan to certain media, to certain reporters, certain media companies, because you're up against, you know, the former president and large chunks of his base, which fully live in a different reality of lies, unfortunately. And, you know, they don't believe the election was valid. They tried to overturn it. They are continuing to try to, you know, they're planning to overturn the next one. And, you know, even if that fails, like, that's just true. Like, they've admitted it time and time again. They're trying to install people in positions of power to control election offices. And so telling the truth about that is not partisan. It's pro-democracy. That's what journalists are supposed to do, is to tell the truth and hold people accountable so that we live in a democracy. We don't want to know what it's like to not live in one. Look at Russia. Look at a lot of other countries. My family's from Iran. That is not a democracy. And I know I hear what it's like to live there, and I don't want that here. So that's one thing. The other thing, which ties in about misinformation, is, you know, calling out why, like, who's benefiting from this. You know, pre-bunking is great and important. I also think when you can't do that, and, you know, there's these lies about, you know, let's use the 2020 election, for example. Who benefits from those lies? Donald Trump. That's pretty much it. And his sycophants who are in his corner. There's no, like, ordinary working class American that's benefiting from that lie. It's harming everyone. I would even argue the, like, Mitch McConnell wing of the Republican Party is not benefiting from that. I don't think it's a popular opinion. It does not really persuade swing voters. But the only person benefiting is Trump. And that's both financial and just, you know, psychological for him. He's fundraised hundreds of millions of dollars off these lies. He has now made it a litmus test, and it all leads back to him. So that's not something that's going to persuade his foremost supporters, But there are people out there who might have questions about the election because they've seen it in the headlines for so long. But if you can kind of connect those dots to he lost, he's a president, he has an ego, he has made a lot of money from it, and he wants to clearly avoid jail time for all the things he's potentially done, maybe that can help sort of convince some people.
One last point on media as well, in this digital media age, that I want people to understand is that while media companies like Courier Newsroom and Up North News are doing what they can to provide content that is truthful and informative and entertaining and you know, interesting, in this media ecosystem, the reader actually has a great deal of power. Part of it is not spreading things that are untrue and saying, I don't know about this, but I'll put it out there. Not getting into flame wars in the comment section, but sharing, reposting things that are truthful, that you do like. And you don't have to put a snarky comment on there or anything, but just the sharing of good information is something that should become contagious on social media and can undo at least some of the damage that's out there.
Yeah, I think that's a hugely important point. And that's something we are really trying to do here, is not just publish good information, but encourage people to share it, because it is important. And, you know, I think it's especially important, you know, I don't want to tell anyone who has a family member they've fallen out with over politics that you need to talk to that person. I don't believe that at all. But I do think if you have, you know, someone who's prone to these lies, who believes in these conspiracies, whatnot, who you are so close to and you want to try to talk to, like, I do think it's important to share good information with them and come at them in the ways we've talked about here with, you know, giving them, you want to give them runway to walk away from all the misinformation. And I think sharing good information is helpful in that. And especially if it's from a trusted source who they might actually respect in some way. But yeah, I think if people need to do that both in their smaller circles and just more widely, you know, we live in a fire hose of content and it's exhausting sometimes, but
oh yeah,
a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. But it is unfortunately the digital world we live in, and the right and the Trump movement are not going to stop until they have power over everything. Like, that's pretty clear, even if it means dismantling the FBI, the federal government, public schools, elections boards. They're like, they want control over everything. And, you know, it's not just about factual information and sharing it, but that is part of it. You know, we need to have a shared basis of reality if this is going to work.
It's the cat. The cat is calling from the other room. This cat is out of hand. It's just, I've left you all of about a minute to talk about student loan debt, and you just put a great article on our website, upnorthnewswi.com, about it. And I added a little bit to it about how more than something like 700,000 people in Wisconsin have student loan debt. And that collectively, just in this state alone, that's $24 billion. Now, that's not being all wiped out, not by a long shot. But the fact that some of it is going to be a real shot in the arm. I mean, people are coming at this from a lot of different ways, Kia, but the way that I think needs to be emphasized is that for a whole lot of families, this is a nice little bit of economic stimulus, properly timed.
Yeah, it's a little bit of economic stimulus. And, you know, a lot of these people have struggled to buy homes, have struggled to buy cars, have struggled to make payments on credit card bills or other debt, or start businesses because of these loans. So, and they can hang over you. And the other thing is, you know, there's a lot of criticism of, oh, people, if you take a loan, you should pay it back. But, you know, a lot of these loans have really predatory interest rates. Mm-hmm. People felt like they had to take them out because, you know, a lot of the sort of messaging in our culture was, oh, you got to go to college to get a good job. And, you know, that may or may not be true. I don't know if that's true anymore, but for a long time, you know, kids in my generation, I'm about to be 31, heard that. And so we went to college, even though the cost of college has tripled in the last 40 odd years, and the federal government's help has stayed pretty much the same. So when you hear all these lawmakers and conservative like legal minds criticize it, you know, they went to college when it was $600 a year.
Exactly. It was a lot cheaper for me as well. And so I really want people to read your article about the benefits of it. Kia Vakil, good to talk to you again. Thanks so much. All right. Have a great day. Good luck with that cat. We'll be back to wrap things up after this. You're up north.